beginning of the Word of God. Amen. I love the message of creation. It's so awesome to me how He divided the waters and He divided the night from the day. And I love to preach about that. I have no trouble preaching about that. And then I seem to jump from that all the way to the end of the Scripture. Amen. I go from how He hung the stars in the sky and He spoke things into existence and He made man out of the dust of the earth and He saw that it was not good for him to be alone. And then I jump from there right to Revelations, and I love to preach about Jesus coming and His power and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I love to preach about how God is going to take a people out of a people for His name's sake, His power, His authority. Amen. I preach about Jesus, New Jerusalem. Jerusalem, all of those things. Amen. And we find that it's easy to preach about beginnings because we love new beginnings. Amen. We get excited. Amen. I get excited every Monday, Tuesday in that area. I'll get a text from your pastor telling me how many y'all baptized and how many got the Holy Ghost. And I get excited about that because that new beginning, that fresh start, that, amen, it's the first day of the rest of your life. It's a, amen, all things are passed away and all things become new. There's something that excites us about new beginnings. Amen. And then we get excited. I don't know about you, but I don't get fretful when I hear somebody talking about the coming of the Lord. It excites me. Hallelujah. Amen. I love my life. I love my family, but I've lived this life to go to heaven. Amen. I've walked this walk to go to heaven. I don't get weary when I hear the preaching of the coming of the Lord. Amen. There's something that is exciting when you know that your soul is ready to meet Him. Oh, yes. Amen. I'm thankful that He gave me a new beginning, but I'm thankful one day the dead in Christ are going to rise, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up with Him in the air. I'm looking forward to that day. Hallelujah. Amen. It's easy. I can even preach, even so. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let me say to you right now, if you're not right with God, it'll be a good day to get right. Amen. Because His return is closer now than it's ever been. We are living on the threshold of the coming of the Lord. And it'll be a good day to get things in order with Jesus. Amen. It'll be a good day to repent of some sins and be buried in the waters of baptism and arise to walk in the newness of life, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in another tongue. It'll be a good day to get ready for the end. It'll be a good day to get ready for His return. Oh, I'm thankful that I got ready. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And as fun as it is to preach about the coming of the Lord, and as fun as it is to preach and exciting as it is to preach about the beginning, amen, sometimes and oftentimes even the preacher gets bogged down in the middle. Amen. I sometimes in my life, amen, I'm thankful, thank God, that I started walking with the Lord. Amen. I received the gift of the Holy Ghost 39 years ago. Amen. I was baptized in the precious name of Jesus. I thank God for that. I don't regret one moment of that. Amen. Say, you as a kid, you didn't understand. I might not have had full understanding, but it's kept me through every storm. It's kept me through every battle. It's kept me through every trial. I don't regret my start in walking with God. And I definitely am not going to regret that instead of burning in an eternal flame and a pit that never has a bottom, that I'm going to get to sit with Him in heavenly places. I don't regret the beginning, and I'm not going to regret the ending. But sometimes I forget that He's with me right now. Sometimes I forget that God's on my side in the middle of life's troubles. Somebody's got to be reminded that He is that which is. He is your God right now. He wasn't just there for you in the waters of baptism and not just going to be there in the end, but He wants to carry you through your day-to-day battles. He wants to carry you through some circumstance right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. We preach. My mother never testified in church. amen, without saying, saints of God, he's real, he's right, and he's wonderful. Amen. And then she would get ready to sit down, and she would remind us that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. If we believe that God did miracles yesterday, amen, and we've got a belief in our life that he fed 5,000, I believe without a doubt. Now listen, I'm going to stop right here long enough to tell you, he fed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves. You're not going to convince me today that there wasn't some other lad in that crowd that had a lunch with him. Somebody else had a lunch with him. But God could only multiply what was given. Oh, hallelujah. If you hang on to what God's blessed you with, I hope you like what you got, because he can't multiply it until you give it. But once you give it, God multiplies what is given. And not only does he multiply it to meet the need, but there were 12 baskets of fragments left over from God, from 2 fish and 5 loaves. Maybe I need to challenge somebody today. If you're holding back on your praise, give what you got. If you're holding back on what you give to the church, give everything you got, because God multiplies what is given. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I believe that he done that. Amen. I believe that he opened blinded eyes. I believe that when Bartimaeus' friends was telling him, quiet down, you don't trouble him, and he cried that much louder, when he starts screaming that much louder, I believe that God, the Bible, I have no trouble believing that God stood still and he called Bartimaeus to him. Not only did he heal his eyes, but he changed his whole identity. Because the Bible says that when Bartimaeus got up from that place, before he ever got to Jesus, he took off his garment, casting off his garment. Now, we all didn't go to K&G or the suit store or to JCPenney and buy suits in that day. Every man's garment was made. It was different. So your clothing, your cloak was your identity. Amen. And when Bartimaeus got up, he was sitting there in that coat, and it belonged to a blind man. It belonged to a man that had suffered blindness. But he said, you know what? When I get to Jesus, I'm not going to be a blind man. So I don't need this coat anymore. Oh God, I've come to tell somebody, this is why God changes our outward appearance also with our inward appearance. Because when you're touched by the Master, you cannot wear the identity of what you was yesterday, but you are a new creature. You have a new identity. All things are passed away and all things become new. Hallelujah. 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 I love it. I love that. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt that one day the eastern sky is going to split and he's going to come back for his people. And we're going to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. And we're going to sit down at the feet of Jesus. Amen. And if I've got all of that faith and belief in what he did in the past, and I believe all of that that's going to happen in the future, amen, I need to let my faith from the past kiss my faith from the future and make a unification right now and realize that God's wanting to reunite my faith to believe that God can answer my sickness today on this August Sunday. God can heal my family today. God can put my marriage back together today. God can bless my finances today. It's not just something that he used to do or he's going to do, but he came to this house to do it today. He came to be the God of right now. Oh, would you give him some praise right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We got to let the victories of our past unite with the faith of our future. Amen. God can do it today. We got to believe in God again. Amen. We got to believe in God again. We got to believe in God's people again. Amen. We got to believe in the church again. We got to believe in God's family again. Amen. The church is not just something that we do a social hour every couple times a week. Amen. It ought to be our family. Amen. We ought to feel the burdens of our brothers and sisters. Amen. Matter of fact, the Bible had a way of it saying that we should confess our faults one to another. Amen. But we got to learn to trust each other again. Amen. Because sometimes God is going to use your brother or sister to speak to you. Amen. And it's not just going to be them speaking, but it's going to be the voice of God that he's trying. And if you don't have confidence and faith in the family of God, you will not receive what God is trying to say to you. Amen. So you got to believe in people again. You got to believe in yourself again. Amen. You got to trust in the man of God again. Amen. Because the word is not just coming forth, amen, just to excite us, but it is to give us life. It is to give us a power to overcome every obstacle and every battle that comes our way. We must believe in each other. Hallelujah. Story of two ghosts in the second story of a house heard a noise downstairs. And one of them said, I'm going to go down and take care of that and see what it is. And he come back upstairs and his legs, his knees were knocking. And he was white as a ghost, no pun intended. And he looked at the other ghost and he said, what'd you see down there? And he said, I just need to know, do you believe in humans? Amen. My question is, do we believe in each other today? Because God wants us to be each other's keeper today. Oh, hallelujah. Sharamo korasataya. We got to believe in people today. Amen. We got to love people so much. Amen. That the drunkard is never unwelcome in our church. That the alcoholic, the drug addict is never unwelcome. Amen. They ought to walk in and this ought to be the most welcoming building that they go to all week long. Amen. Because we believe in people. I don't want them kind of people at this church. Well, maybe you should find a different church that don't want growth and don't want revival. But I'm going to tell you, the people of God that want to please God are saying, bring us prostitutes that can be delivered. Bring us alcoholics that can be delivered. Bring homosexuals that can be set free. Bring drug addicts that can be lifted out of their bondage. God, be God right now. Jesus, Jesus. Amen. Oh, before you can believe in people, some of you got to start believing in yourself again. All right. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches us, cast not away, therefore, thy confidence, for it hath great recompense of reward. There is something about being confident in who you are in God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. For the last couple of years, amen, I'm just going to be transparent with you. For the last couple of years, it's been a battle. Amen. And my life transitioned and everything changed. And I suffered a deep depression. Amen. And I went through such a dark depression. And I've shared some of it before. But, amen, to the point that I was researching and studying ways that I could end my life and make it look like an accident. Amen. Because the enemy had put such a stronghold against me and warped me and messed with my mind so much. Amen. And then the enemy would tell me, amen, we would get scheduled to preach and our schedule started filling up and we started traveling again. And then the enemy would say, you're not really an evangelist. You don't know what you are. Amen. You're really nothing in the kingdom. Amen. You're not pastor anymore, and you don't know this, and you don't, amen. But I can tell you today, one moment in the presence of a right now God, and the confidence of the Lord was restored back into my spirit, and I realized and understood I am exactly what God says I am. I am exactly what God called me to be, and I will boldly be confident in the fact that this world needs revival. And God, if you'll send me, I'll go. If you'll use me, I'll surrender to you. Somebody's got to make up in your mind. I'm confident in the fact that my God is more than enough. My God is more than enough. He's a provider. He's a healer. He's a way maker, and he's on my side right now. Oh, clap your hands and give him praise. Hallelujah. Amen. We got to serve notice on the devil. You're not stuck in the middle of this battle. Amen. I used to love it when I pastor and people come in and say, Pastor, I'm just going through something so bad, right? I say, that's exactly right. You're going through it. Amen. You prophesied your destiny. You're not going to die in the middle of it. You're not going to fail in the middle of it. You're going all the way through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why will I not fear evil? Not because evil's not there, but I'm not afraid of evil. Because I'm not stopping in the valley. I'm not stopping in the trial. I'm not stopping in the circumstance. I'm going through. I'm going through. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to serve notice on the devil. I'm going through today. Amen. I'm not dead in the middle. Amen. I need to stop telling Jesus about my situation and start telling my situation about my Jesus. Oh, yeah. Debt meet the banker. Sickness meet the healer. Depression meet the doctor. Divorce meet the counselor. God called you, and if God called you out of darkness, He'll qualify you to be exactly what He wants you to be. Amen. I'm not giving up. Amen. Because God is on my side. Hallelujah. The Bible says that He is the author and the finisher of my faith. He is the author. Now, I've got a thing. I've got a weakness for used bookstores. Amen. And I know everybody reads on their tablets and everything now. But, man, there's just something about picking up an old book and the smell of those pages. Reading and just think, there's just something to me different. My wife, she got that Audible app or whatever it is, and she says, I read 4 books this week. Well, what she means is somebody else read 4 books to her while she was working. I said, babe, you can't say you read those books. Yes, I can. I said, no, you can't. You didn't read them. You listened to them. I said, that app's for people that don't know how to read. And nobody will laugh because she's not here to defend herself, but I say it right to her, you know. But I love books. I got books that I will never get around to reading. Man, we was at that campground this week, and they had a little bookstore that just had a donation box. Well, that's dangerous. Nobody's working in there. Man, I hope they meant that, because that suggested 25 cents. I load it up, baby. Amen. I got books I'll never read. I got books about books. Amen. There's just something about books. I love books. And out of all the books I have read, all of the books that I will read or all of the books that I won't read, I have found that not one of them books was started by one author and finished by that author, but he let somebody else write the middle. Every book I've got, the same author that started it, wrote the middle of it, and wrote the end of it. Can I tell you, God did not start your story to let the devil write the middle of it. Oh, somebody ought to realize, hey, I might be going through some battles, but God's still got the pen. God's still the author. God's still the one writing my story. And He's not left me here. He's not deserted me here. But He is the God of right now. Somebody that needs Him right now ought to throw your hands in the air and say, God, I receive strength right now. I receive direction right now. I receive deliverance right now. Jesus, I'm thankful that even in the times that I felt so forsaken, that You were the one writing the story. I'm going to tell somebody prophetically right now, and I promise you, I didn't come to preach. I tried not to preach, but I feel a prophetic word for somebody right now. The problem with your life is you're holding the pen, and you need to give it back to the Lord, because He was doing a good job writing the story until you started trying to figure things out on your own, and you started trying to write the outcome. Hey, come on, somebody. You ought to receive in your spirit right now, Jesus loved you enough to send this preacher by and tell you that He's in charge of what you're going through. He knows exactly what that family member's done. He knows exactly what they said to you. He knows exactly what you're looking at your bank account, and He's not forsaken you. tabo soto yaka. I was driving down the road, the enemy, I was kind of closing in on this attack. You know, I was sick of this mental attack. And I'm driving down the road by myself January this year, and I'm just talking out loud. People probably thought I was crazy, but I mean, I probably am a little bit. I don't need no amens from you. Amen. I probably am a little bit, but I'm talking to myself and I'm telling God that, you know, if this will happen and that will happen and this falls into place, everything's going to be all right. And it'll work out just exactly like I need it to work out. And so, you know, God might speak softly to you, and He might send a little tender rose your way, and the petals say something to you, and it tickles your spirit and makes you. But God's got to scream at Jason Weir, amen, because I'm stubborn, and God's got to scream at me. And I'm in that car by myself, and honest to goodness, my dad's been dead 9 years, but honest to goodness, I heard that stern voice like my father say, "You need to stop it." Looked around, I thought, who's in my van? There wasn't nobody in my van, and I kept driving. I started talking to myself and Jesus again, telling Him what He needs to do and the people He needs to put in my path, and this needs to happen. And I hear it again, "You need to stop it." All right. I said, "Dear Lord, what, God? You got my attention now." And He said, "You need to stop trying to be your own God. I've took you through this valley for a purpose. I've took you through this storm for a purpose. And you're wishing this storm off. But if the devil knew what you was going to be when this thing was over, he would have never started messing with you. And you need to stop telling me how to do my job." Come on, I've come to tell somebody, God knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what you have need of today. You need to stop trying to be your own God and let God work in your circumstance. Oh, I wish you'd lift your hands. I feel the glory of the Lord in this room. The God of the right now knows exactly what you need. Jesus. Oh, God, I love Him. I wish you'd just love Him for a moment. He's wanting to speak directly to somebody right now. I feel the Holy Ghost telling me to tell somebody that God's closed the door on purpose. And you've jiggled the handle and tried your best to open that door that God keeps closing. And if you walk through it, it'll bring damnation to your family. But you got to trust Him right now that the door was shut for a purpose. It was closed for a reason. Oh, God, I love you right now. I love you right now, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I feel your presence. This Yahweh, the God of the beginning. We find from the Old Testament to the New Testament, 400 years of silence. Now there's people, and if your pastor teaches these, then he's right and I'm wrong. There's people that believe there were lost books and all these different things that happened in that 400 years of silence. I believe everything that we're supposed to live by is in this book. I believe 400 years of silence meant silence. I believe that God did not speak in those 400 years. But somehow, out of the silence, Yahweh or Jehovah of the Old Testament concealed steps into the New Testament as Jesus revealed. Oh, hallelujah. And what took place in the silence was preparing for what was about to happen in the light. What took place in the darkness. Now some of you may be living in that time where it seems like God is silent. And it seems like God's not speaking to your need. And God doesn't know where you're at. And God doesn't even care where you're at. And I've been there. I've walked into the sanctuary all by myself before and said, God, do you remember me? It seemed like he was silent. And he was so far away. I used to do a little bit of printing, and it was old school printing. We had to develop our own photos and then make those into print plates, and it was a long process. And I found out that when you would go into that developing room, that if anybody happened to just creak that door open, all of the work that was done to that point was in vain, because it would ruin what was taking place in the dark room, in the silence. Can I tell you the reason why God has not turned the light on for you yet, and the reason why he still seems silent, is he's still developing you. And if the light comes on too soon, it will destroy the work that he's trying to develop in the darkness. It's not in the light that you are made perfect, but it's in the dark times that you trust God and you find perfection. Oh God, I feel the Holy Ghost. It's in the silent times where you find the perfect will of God. And when the fullness of time comes, he'll bring you out of the silence, and he'll bring you out of the dark room, and you will be developed to exactly what God has designed you to be. Friend, he has not forsaken you. He has not left you. Yahweh, the Yahweh, the first and the last letters of the alphabet. Amen. Yahshua. Amen. Indicating that God is first and last. Yahshua in Revelations, Jesus. Yahshua in Hebrew says that he is the beginning and the end. This tells me to understand that Jesus and God are one in the same. When you see him, you have seen the Father. Amen. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Revelations 1 and 8, he said that he was the Almighty. That translation of Almighty right here means the absolute, universal, omnipotent God, which is, which was, and which is to come. Jesus said, I am not just your start and your finish, but I am also the middleman. I am also the one that came to pave a way for you to have deliverance and victory and breakthrough. Hallelujah. I hasten today. Oh, Jesus, he's the middleman. He was the Word made flesh, and it dwelt among us so that we could behold his glory. There's a lot of people then and a lot of people now that didn't recognize Jesus when he came, because he came, amen, not looking like a God, not looking like the King of glory, but he came as a servant. Amen. The Almighty didn't act high and mighty. The Holy One wasn't holier than thou. The one who made the stars didn't keep his head stuck in him. Amen. He could have been a show off. Amen. You say, well, Brother Weir, what makes you think that? Amen. Jesus' purpose was not to show off, but to show up. In Jesus, God shows up in the middle of all circumstance. Between the old and the new, God shows up in the form of Jesus, and he puts on flesh, and he dwells among us, and he came. Oh God, the Bible said that without Christ, we were from aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers of the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He was the beginning and the end, but he also is the middleman that you and I could have breakthrough right now. Watch this as you stand with me today. Watch this. The Bible says that he's the beginning and the end, the Yahweh, but we needed him in the middle. And so Yahweh took off his crown. Yahweh took off his royal robe. Yahweh disdained all that he was, and he became a servant. He took his foot off of the street of gold and stepped it on the sandy shores of Galilee. And he began to walk this earth. Explained in the book of Revelations, he which is now, he which was in the beginning, and which is to come. Oh, Rekaramoshotaya. And Jesus said, I came to to restore right relationship between God and man. He said, I came to the middle to become what you could not become. Hallelujah. He became flesh so that we could become spirit. Somebody ought to praise him right now. That he came to this earth, that he could live, he could do miracles, and he could die for our sins. And for, he done all of that so that you and I could know him in the power of his resurrection. Calvary was a bridge from the beginning to the end. Oh, say, I don't know. Listen, he's the Almighty God. He's the absolute God. He's the omnipotent God. He overcame the middle part. These things have I spoken unto you in John chapter 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you that you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He said, I stepped out of the Old Testament and I built a bridge and I overcome the world so that you can have hope today. No matter what stumbling block comes into your path, no matter what happens to you from earth to glory, you've got a way to overcome, and it's through the power of the name of Jesus. Would you lift your hands to him right now? He karabohushatara. My father was 46 years old, suffered a massive heart attack. Got to the hospital, ended up in intensive care, had a 5 bypass surgery. Coded 3 times during that surgery. They had to call the code team in and shock him back. 7 years prior to my dad having that heart attack, our local church had 3 deaths in 24 hours. 3 of our elders passed away in 24 hours. I remember being 11, 12 years old and being at one hospital with my father. And he was saying the final prayers and goodbyes to a saint of God. And over the intercom they page, Reverend Weir, please come to the information desk. And we got down there and they said, you have to go to Union Hospital now. Sister Whitford has fallen and broke her neck. She's talking out of her mind. Her family's concerned. The only thing that they can make out of what she's saying is that she needs to see her pastor. I remember rushing across town, pastor, with my father and my mom. We got there. They were swinging doors. Family staff was opening doors for us, getting dad to that room as quick as they could. Mom and I went as far as we could. When dad walked into that room, he brushed the shoulder of an old Jewish doctor that was there. When he got into that room, Sister Whitford wasn't talking out of her head. She was speaking in a heavenly language. My dad turned around and looked at that old Jewish doctor and he said, I told them, as long as she's talking in that language, everything's going to be all right. My dad got to the bedside of that dying saint of God. Sister Whitford always told us our whole life, time I ever heard her speak, she'd say, you better have some prayers prayed ahead. My dad got to her bedside. She reached up and grabbed him, pulled him down to her, and for nearly 10 minutes she prayed prayers like, take your hands off of the man of God. God's not through with him yet. Take your hands off of him, Satan. This attack has to stop right now. When she was done praying and she let go of the man of God, she drew her last breath and went on to glory. My dad noticed that day that it was a really weird hospital room. Almost just kind of the shape of your baptismal room. It was just come to a very sharp point. There was room for a bed and one little chair. That was it. After dad had his surgery on that Saturday, 7 years later, pastor, us boys and mom was tired. We'd been at the hospital all week. He seemed to be somewhat stable. We left him at that time. It wasn't like heart surgery today. He was all wired up. He looked like death. Heart surgery used to be different. Nowadays they want you walking that evening, but it was different back then. We left dad and he had a feeding tube and tubes in his nose, and His eyes had salve in them from surgery. And he looked pretty much like death when we left there that day. When we walked back in after Sunday school, my dad was sitting up in the bed. And there wasn't no feeding tube. There wasn't no wires. There wasn't nothing going into his nose. I said, what in the world happened? We run back out there to the nurse's station. Said, what happened? They said, we don't know what happened. They said, we start hearing these alarms going off. We start hearing all this stuff happening. We run in the room, and your dad's pulling that stuff out. When we got in there to dad, he said, I had a visitation from the Lord. And he said, this is what the Lord said to me. He said, Merrill, you've been here before, and you weren't alone then, and you're not alone now. He said, I start arguing with God. God, I've never been in the hospital. I don't even like going to the doctor. I've never been here. And he said, I heard the voice of the Lord again say, I said, you've been here before, and you weren't alone then, and you're not alone now. He said, as he raised up and started wiping that surgery goo out of his eyes, and he opened his eyes, he was laying in that very same pie-shaped room that 7 years prior, the child of God prayed that prayer over him. I've come to tell somebody right now that's going through something in this room. You've been here before, and you weren't alone then. And Yahweh has not left you alone now. Every head bowed and every eye closed as they prepare to sing. I wonder who's transparent enough to step out of your seat. Come up here and say, God, I've had some moments of doubt lately, but I believe you're the God of my right now. Come on, if you need to make things right with God, we have water. There is no reason to hinder you from being baptized and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Come on, how many needs God to do something in your life? Would you be the one that has stepped out of your seat, walk to an altar, say, God, I need some answers today. I feel like you're silent, God. I feel like you're a million miles away. I've come to tell you, he's just as close as the mention of his name. If you'll just say Jesus today, he'll be your God right now. If you'll just say Jesus today, he'll answer your prayers. Oh, as they sing, would you reach to the Lord right now? If you're not praying, would you find somebody to pray with? Daughter, God's not forsaken you. You're not alone. He's not forgot about you. But his hand is upon you. He's carrying you through the middle. Come on, would you reach for the King? I just challenge somebody that's not used to stepping out of your seat and coming to the front. I just feel like God wants you to walk up here today, and he's going to give you an answer that you've been praying for. Come on, somebody ought to be, if you're not praying for yourself, you ought to be praying with somebody. There's people that feel alone right now. They feel like God's forgot about them right now. But God has stepped into this room to show them he loves them more now than he's ever loved them. He cares for them more now than he's ever cared for them. It's going to be all right, daughter. It's going to be all right, son.
You never stop.
He never stops working.
Stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working.
Never stop.
You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Sing, that is who you are. Oh, that is who you are.
That is who you are.
My provider's